All right, well, if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and put the screen up. if you have your Bibles, could you turn to Acts chapter 4? And we are going to, we're going to read the whole chapter. So let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Acts chapter 4. Luke writes this. He says, "And as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. And so on the next day, the rulers and the elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, 'By what power or by what name did you do this?' And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed? Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.' Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, 'What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name.' And so they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard.' And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom the sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. Now when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priest and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, 'Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with all boldness." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, this morning as we turn to your word, Lord, we ask that you would speak to our hearts, help us to hear, help us to see what it is that you would have for us this morning, and to see, most importantly, God, what an amazing and powerful God that you are, and merciful and gracious God, that you would make a way for our rescue. And help us to understand and see how it is that your spirit is moving in us, that we might leave here ready to faithfully follow after and serve you. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we worked through chapter 3, which I'm going to say was part 1 because I was going to hit chapters 3 and 4 together, but for the sake of time, we just hit number 3 last week. And what we're calling it is Focus on Mission, and we're just going to keep going with that title this morning. How many of you enjoy getting out in the woods and taking a hike? We got any people who just love that? Yeah. How many of you hate that? B? Liz? Hi. It's God's creation. Hi, what? Man. So anyhow, I started last week by telling about Denny and I getting out for a hike, and at the one part of it, it was just rocks everywhere, and we were, you know, you have your head down so you can see where you're putting your feet, and before you know it, and you just start trudging up the trail, and before you know it, you're like, oh, I better look where I'm going, or else you could get off trail, and you have to look for the trail markers, and you got to pay attention. And we've all had that probably in our lives in some way, where we can get so focused on what we're doing and just we're going and we're doing and we're working hard and we're busy about things. And before we know it, if we don't look up and we don't pay attention, maybe we find ourselves in places that we didn't expect to be or plan to be and never wanted to be. And so it's important for us to pay attention. And this morning for us as a church, as we look at this passage, I want to encourage us to stay focused on the mission and the work and the job that we have been given by Jesus. On the mission, the why and the what we've been called to, so that we don't find ourselves missing the mark, because it can be so easy to get off course. And the mission that we've been given is shared with us in the first chapter here of Acts in verse 8, and it's what we're all about, helping people find and follow after Jesus and becoming his devoted followers. It's about making disciples. When we started this, if we remember back to chapter 1, verse 8, here's what Jesus said to them. It's the job that he had given them, and he gives us. But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power and will tell people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so in that verse, Jesus is telling them two things. You're going to go, and you're going to go and tell people all about me. And as you go and tell them about me, know this, that you're not going on your own abilities, that you don't have to have it all together as you go, but you're going empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's going to give you every single thing that you need to do the work that I have given you. And then in chapter 2, as we move through this story, the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost, just as Jesus had promised it was going to happen. And he comes, and this amazing thing happens, and they all begin to speak in the tongues of other languages, so that everybody who is gathered there from all the different parts of the known world who spoke different languages could understand what was being said as the gospel was proclaimed and the message of Jesus was told. And what happened was that there were about 3,000 people who came to faith that day. And then last week, chapter 3, it sets the stage for where we're going to be today in chapter 4, because what we had at the first 11 verses there of chapter 3 was Peter and John, that they were coming to the temple, and there they found a lame man seated along the side, and he's asking for money because that's about all that he can do, and just relying on the charity of others. And they come upon him, and he's asked them for money, and they say, we don't have that, but what we do have, we're going to give you. And so in the name of Jesus, stand up and be healed. And so what we are told in this passage, this guy had been lame from birth 40 years. 40 years. And he is healed. Never been able to walk. And can you imagine what those leg muscles must have been like after 40 years of not being used? You know, just go with something going on. Right, Doug? I see you shaking your head. Yeah, just for as long as it's been, like 6 weeks of sitting there. It's more than that now, I think. But of just having your legs sitting there, and it just the atrophy and the muscles, they just go. Here's 40 years of this, and Jesus heals this guy. Peter and John say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And he stands up, and he's just walking, and everybody's seeing this take place. And he's walking around, and everybody is in awe and wonder of what has happened before their eyes. People knew this guy. There wasn't anything fake about what had happened and what was going on, that this guy was just making it up. He had been healed. This guy who sat there all his life, never able to walk, was walking around. It was a miracle. So last week we took some time and we just did something a little bit different and had the opportunity to share together with the people who are sitting next to us, what are ways that we've seen God do amazing miracles and things in our lives? And we talked about how that God does these things and he works in these ways in our lives, not just to transform and make a difference in our lives, but he also does these things to give us a platform and an opportunity to share with others and tell about his goodness and his greatness. And most importantly, that salvation is found in Jesus alone. And so that's what we see Peter do as he speaks to the crowd. And we're told that there is about 5,000 people who place their faith in Jesus because of what happens here in this place. God is moving. God is working. And so we have to pay attention and we have to take notice of the amazing things that God is doing in our lives and the lives of those around us. And we need to take advantage and not miss the opportunities that God gives us every day to share the hope in Jesus. And so that's simply what it was about last week. And it's true for us in our lives to this day, that every moment of every day and every day there are opportunities and God is working and God is moving in our lives in such ways to give us the opportunity to share the hope of the gospel. That we're sitting here is not an accident, that we get to have the people in our lives that we run into, that we have conversations with. None of it is an accident. God is giving us opportunities all the time to share the hope of Jesus. And so we got to take advantage of them. And so we talked about how Peter takes advantage of the opportunity to share, and that leads us to where we are today. And the honest truth is that there are times when it is easier to share the hope that we have in Christ, the good news of the gospel, with people, then at other times it can be more challenging, right? And so that's what we see here in this passage today. In the first three verses, we're told that the priests and the Sadducees, that they come around, they hear what's going on, and they are greatly annoyed because Peter and John and all these other folks are talking about Jesus, and people are starting to turn and place their faith in Jesus, and it is a bother to them because these are the very ones who would have killed Jesus and had him crucified on the cross. They thought that they had put an end to all this talk that Jesus was the Messiah, but now people are by the thousands are still turning in faith to Jesus. And so what do? We're told here in these first three verses that they take Peter and John and they put them in jail for the night. And here's the reality, that when God is doing some amazing stuff in the lives of people, and you're being obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life, you can be sure that there's going to be obstacles, that there's going to be barriers, that there are going to be things that the enemy is going to do whatever he can to get in the way of you continuing to be faithful to the work that he has given you to do. There is a very real spiritual battle going on. He's going to do whatever he can to trip us up from following after the Lord faithfully. And there might even be persecution. And in this chapter, we get to see the first instance of persecution being faced by the early church. And in that moment, when that happens, you have a decision to make. Will you keep going? Will you be obedient to the Lord, to the Spirit of God, or are you going to allow yourselves to get distracted? Sometimes I know, like, as we were about the work of going and sharing the gospel and talking about spiritual things with people. Sometimes we pray for it and God gives us the opportunity, but we're like, man, I'm just not sure. I don't know if I should step forward and keep on going with that or not. And maybe we back off. But I think sometimes he gives us the opportunity and he's asking us, will we just trust him enough to go and to tell and to share? And as we do, then he begins to open up the door even more. And so I want to encourage us in that, because the enemy is going to do whatever he can to get us off track. And we can know that it's not going to be easy, because here Peter and John, they find themselves in jail for being faithful to the mission. They're just telling what Jesus had told them to do. And where does that put them? It puts them in jail. How about this morning, just some of the songs that we sang, the words, the lyrics, the content of what we were singing, that there is suffering that happens in our lives. And some of that suffering comes to our lives because of our faith and our trust in Jesus and our obedience to him. But even in the midst of that, even in the midst of the hard things in our lives, I love it that our faith doesn't run from those hard questions, but that we can know that in the midst of hard things and suffering, that we have reason to believe and that our God is so good. And so Peter and John, there they are, they find themselves in jail, and we're told that all the religious leaders in verses 5 and forward, they all gathered together with the high priest and all the important people, all the leaders there, and they bring Peter and John out of custody, and they put them right there in front of them, and they ask them questions, and they're about to interrogate them. How is it and by what power is it that you're healing, that this man is healed? And Peter, verse 8, filled with the Holy Spirit, he says to them, rulers of the people and elders, verse 9, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. See what's happening here? That in the midst of that hard thing, that persecution that they're facing, because they were faithful to the call that God had given them to go and to tell, and just by telling, they find themselves in jail. That even in the midst of that, God's working, and he's paving the way for them to have the opportunity to continue to do to a whole nother level, to a whole nother group of people, of telling them about Jesus. Just the night before, they've been in prison because these people are trying to put an end to the Jesus movement. And these very people are asking them, and they're setting the ball right up them there for them to just smack it down and tell them all about who Jesus is. It's what they don't want to have happen, and they're just setting it up for the story to be told again to them. Peter knows what they want to hear and what they don't want to hear. And in that moment, he has a choice to make. Am I going to tell them the truth? Or am I going to just set back and change my story to what they want to hear? Because I want to get out of jail. And what does he do in verse 8? Filled with the Holy Spirit, in the midst of a tough situation, he decides to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, and he speaks the truth. He doesn't change his message one single bit. He doesn't change his story. He doesn't soften it any more than he did the day before when he was telling the story. He tells them that there is no hope of salvation in anyone other than Jesus. You know, how fun is that to say sometimes in our context, in our culture, to say that there is one way to salvation. Whenever we live in a, and it's probably not a lot different than it was back then, when, well, if you believe this, you can believe this, and you can believe this, and hey, whatever you like to believe, that's all good, because it's all headed the same way. No, the gospel message is that there is one way to salvation, and that is through Christ alone, and Peter doesn't back down. He is right on and saying it, and he's even telling them that you are the guys who killed him. And he's the one who healed this man. Do you think it would have been easy to say that to them right there? I want to encourage you to do the right thing and not allow what God wants to accomplish through you to be stopped because of your fear or because of your decision to not be a part of his plan. And not only did Peter and John here have the opportunity to tell people about Jesus to those around the temple where the lame man was healed, but they got taken right up to the leadership. And they got to say to the leaders the story loud and clear about whom salvation is found in. And then look what happens. The leading elders and the rulers in the next few verses of the nation in verse 18, what do? They try to get Peter and John to stop talking about Jesus. But Peter and John, they are so focused on the work that they've been given, they can't help but tell of what they have seen and heard. Because I love this line, because they had been with Jesus. Because they had been with Jesus. They'd seen him do all kinds of amazing miracles. Their lives had been changed by him. They'd seen him alive after he died on the cross. They saw him ascend into heaven, and now they're filled with the Spirit. How could they not keep on talking and telling about him? How are they supposed to keep that in? Can you keep something like that that is so important? Can you keep it in? No, there's no way. So here's the deal. Stay focused on the mission of being witnesses for Jesus. Let's do that. Let's be focused on doing that work here in this community and in our lives. Let's remember that the Holy Spirit is enabling us. He's giving us every single thing that we need to do to carry that out. Let's remember how he's changed our lives, and let's look for the opportunities to tell and to share the gospel. Let's seize those opportunities, both the easy ones and the hard ones. And allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. And so, as we continue on, what's so important here? That not only do we need to be focused, but we need to be fillable. Verses 23 through 30, there, I won't read it again because we've already read it, and for the sake of time, but in verses 23 to 30, we are given a picture of how we can best set ourselves up for experiencing the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we carry out the mission. What do they do? Here's just five things real quickly that I see here. That they went and they got back together as they left the leaders. They went and they got back together with other Christians and they told them about what they had happened. They got together, they celebrated together. There's just something special that happens as the church gathers together and we get to share and we get to encourage and build each other up and celebrate the good things that are going on and even to share about the hard things that we're experiencing in our lives and to be encouraged and supported. They were united. They stayed together. They were united. Even whenever conflict arises, they were united and they were together through it. And they recognize God's sovereignty. All through that is they're praying, sovereign God, you know, sovereign Lord, just praying and coming and trusting wholeheartedly that whatever God ordains is right. We sang it this morning, that he is a sovereign God and that we can trust him and rest in his faithful hand in our lives. And so because of that, we can move forward in obedience with nothing to fear. And we trust him and we ask for boldness to show Jesus and they asked for God to do miracles. You know, that's what we do, right? As a church, as we gather together, we celebrate together, we pray together, we ask God to do the amazing, the miracles in our midst, and he's done that. And I think in all of those things, that's like being a welcome environment for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because on our own strength, we can gain little, if anything, but when we are constantly relying on the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we've got a power that is greater than anything else. That's all we need. And so let's posture ourselves in such a way that we are ready to receive and be filled with the Holy Spirit, just like a cup, as you have this cup or a glass sitting there. It's set up. It's ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in our lives, are we posturing ourselves in such a way, as a church, are we posturing ourselves in a way to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And look at verse 31. So we need to be focused, we need to be fillable. In verse 31, what does it say? And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. God doesn't fill us up so that we can keep it in. He empowers and he fills us with the Spirit for a purpose, and that is to let the overflow, out of that overflow, to make known the name of Jesus and let people know that there is hope and there is peace and there is rescue found if you'll place your faith and your trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Earlier, they were filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And they could have said, well, that's plenty, that's all we need. But no, they kept on gathering together. It's like, we need more of you. They needed more of the Holy Spirit to continue proclaiming the message of the gospel boldly. And I need this message. You need this message. We all need this message where we are being reminded of the need for us to be relying on the work of the Holy Spirit as we go on and stay focused on the mission of telling. And so it's that simple this morning. Let's not lose sight of why we are here. We are here because of Jesus' grace and because of his mercy. We are sent to go and tell and be a blessing. And as we go, and so how is it in your life? Are you looking for the opportunities that God has for you to share? And are you being filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you spending time? Are you spending time with Jesus? These guys had been with Jesus. They couldn't help but keep on talking. Are you spending time with Jesus where you can't help but tell, where you're experiencing the working and the filling of the Holy Spirit in your lives? Are you going and are you telling? Are you being faithful to tell as we go? In a moment, we're going to gather together here, and Doug's going to come in a second and just lead us all together as we commission a team of 8 individuals who are headed over to Southeast Asia, Indonesia, tomorrow night as we go for 10 to 12 days for some of us to the other side of the world to do just this, to go to a people who have yet to hear, who have never heard, 99 point however many percent. I've never heard the name of Jesus. Not a church there. Like, we have churches all around us here. It's a whole different world. Where in the morning we're going to wake up and we're going to hear the sirens going off, calling folks to prayer in the Muslim faith. And it's just a whole different thing that we're headed into that culture. But it's all because of this and what we have been told to do. And we're going in obedience to go and to tell and trusting that the Holy Spirit is going to fill and he's going to work and he's going to guide us along the way to have those conversations to tell of our hope in Jesus so that they might be saved. Because if there's no one who's going to go and tell, how are they going to hear? And if they can't hear, how can they believe? And so in the same way, as we are being sent to go, every single one of us here has been sent to go here and in the communities and the places that God has us here. And so, Doug, I'm going to invite you to come on up, and let's just bow our heads as he comes. And let's just consider this. The message of the gospel is that salvation and forgiveness and grace and mercy is found in Jesus alone. And maybe this morning you're here and you have yet to place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Hear that this morning, that he is welcoming you. He is calling you this morning to place your faith in him. That he loves you. That he came and he made a way on the cross so that your sins might be forgiven. And that you might be able to have a relationship with the God of the universe. If that's you, God's word says that if we confess that we believe that Jesus is Lord, he will come and that he will forgive us of our sins, and he calls us his own, and he brings us into his family. Lord, you know our hearts, and you know the encouragement that we need to hear this morning, and I thank you for your word and the clear word here to your people to say, church, this is what I want you to be about. And there's times when it's going to be hard, but trust me and keep on staying close to me so that you can tell the story, the greatest story of all, of a God who loves, a God who has made a way for rescue, a God who has made it possible for forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ alone. And may we not be comfortable, too comfortable, where we just back off and we're like, that's too hard. I don't want to mess up that relationship or that friendship. I don't want to, you know, things to get messed up because I'm too vocal about my faith. And let's be faithful to the mission and to the work that he's called us to. And let's spur one another on and encourage each other in this work. God, we want you to be glorified more than anything. We want to be faithful to you. Thank you for being so good to us. In your name we pray. Amen.